So it's batch number two of local news and features for Update Talking News Stoke. It's 10 minutes with you, and we've got four more headlines. Uta's going to give you her headlines first this time.
Actually, quite scary. A dog owner did not secure XL bullies before beasts killed a Staffordshire man. And my second one is Severn Trent plan for Stoke-on-Trent Greenbelt in return for A34 access road.
And my headlines are fake toys and illegal vapes worth £25,000 have been seized as police make slavery arrest. And 1,219 of you are fighting plans for 124 homes in Stoke-on-Trent estate. So over to Uta, who's going to do the first story for us in batch number two.
Yes, it's about this dog owner who did not secure his XL bully. A dog owner did not secure his XL bullies, several, properly before they fatally attacked a man. James Harrison Trimble Pettit, 32 years old, from Staffordshire, has pleaded guilty at Stafford Crown Court to two counts of being the owner of a dog which, when dangerously out of control, caused the death of 52-year-old Ian Price. Mr. Price was attacked by the two XL bullies, who were named in an early court hearing as a champagne-collared female called Via and a white male named Aris in Staffordshire just before 3:15 p.m. on September the 14th in 2023. Members of the public tried to get the dogs off Mr. Price, who was taken to hospital in a critical condition but died a short time later. One of the dogs died during the incident after being restrained, and the other was given a lethal injection by a vet inside the owner's flat. Trimble Pettit was arrested the same day and pleaded guilty to the charges in January this year on the basis that the dogs escaped during a momentary lapse in concentration. But that was not accepted by the Crown Prosecution Service, and a trial of issue was held this week. Prosecutor Peter Greaves Smith said Trimble Pettit, who looked sombre in the dock and wore a black suit and tie, had arrogantly disregarded his responsibilities as a dog owner. Now Trimble Pettit had admitted the charges and will be sentenced on January the 5th. In a statement released through Staffordshire Police, Mr. Price's family said, "To every member of the public who tried to help Ian on that fateful day, we salute you and thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You are heroes. To the emergency services who attended on that day and to the staff at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital who tried so desperately to save Ian, thank you. To the officers involved in Ian's case, thank you for your dedication and perseverance. Particular thanks to go to our family liaison officer for her continued support and explanations. To our friends and family who wrapped their arms around us and never faltered, thank you will never be enough. Our family has been overwhelmed by the love and support shown to us since that dreadful day, and we thank you for all your kind words and actions. Ian was full of life and loved by many. Anyone who knew him will remember his enthusiasm and passion for life, but above all, his kind and generous spirit. He will live on in our hearts and in the children he adored." Detective Superintendent Cheryl Hannan from Staffordshire Police said, "Ian's injuries caused by the dogs attacking him were catastrophic. He tragically died a short time later. The simple fact is that Trimble Pettit didn't secure his dogs properly and Ian's death could have been avoided. Our thoughts remain with Ian's family and friends at this incredible difficult time. I'd like to thank the investigation team for their hard work and the preparing the evidence that led to the guilty pleas. Also to all those that responded on the day that Ian was attacked. Mr. Price's death was one of the number of attacks on people that led the government to ban XL bullies. And the ban made it a criminal offence to own an XL bully in England and Wales unless owners have a valid certificate of exemption."
So many thanks. So my first story for you now in batch number two is fake toys and illegal vapes worth £25,000 have been seized as police make slavery arrest. Police and trading standards have seized fake toys along with illegal vapes and tobacco worth around £25,000 after swooping on six shops. A slavery arrest was also made after this week's operation in Allsager, Congleton and Sandbach, and also Macclesfield. The enforcement saw Cheshire Police protecting vulnerable people, exploitation team up with trading standards, where they found illicit items hidden away. A specialist detection dog was deployed, like the sound of that, with the street value of the counterfeit toys, illegal vapes and tobacco thought to be around £25,000. Meanwhile, a 32-year-old man from Macclesfield was also arrested on suspicion of modern-day slavery offences. The constabulary said he had been assisting officers with their inquiries. The sting came as part of the National Crime Agency's Operation Machinzi, whatever that is, which is focusing on rumbling money, laundering and the criminal use of cash incentives in high street businesses and immigration crime. Detective Inspector Martin Caldwell said we and our community partners work very hard to tackle those attempting to sell illicit products in Cheshire and Staffordshire. While many businesses across Cheshire are operating within the law, we have seen that there are a few who think that they can get away with it, as we have seen today. There really is nowhere to hide when it comes to distributing products that are illegal for a reason, and today's results are the products to the excellent work of our officers' partners who are committed to bringing organised criminals as well as those who exploit the most vulnerable people in our society to justice. With that in mind, we cannot take action like this without your support. Information submitted to us from members of the public is vital to our investigations, so I encourage anyone with any information or concerns about illegal activity in any way whatsoever in their area to get in touch. So over to Uta, next story for you.
Thank you, Timbo. Well, it's about Severn Trent plan. Well, the Severn Trent plan for Stoke-on-Trent Greenbelt in return for A34 access road. Severn Trent has told residents that Greenbelt land will need to be developed to fund a long-awaited access road with up to 1,000 jobs being created on the new industrial estate. The water company currently sends HGVs travelling to and from its Strongford sewage treatment plant along Barlaston Old Road in Trentham. Residents in the area want Severn Trent to build an access road onto the A34 Stone Road so the tankers do not need to drive past their homes. But the company says two Greenbelt sites it owns will have to be sold and turned into industrial estates in order to generate the funding for the road. Severn Trent is proposing that the land is earmarked for employment use in Stoke-on-Trent City Council's new local plan. One parcel of Severn Trent's land, next to the sewage works, is part of the wider BL2 site off at the A34. The company also wants to sell off land next to Newstead Industrial Estate, designed E14 in the draft local plan. The BL2 site also includes land owned by Trentham Golf Club, which is looking to sell off for housing. BL2 has been earmarked for up to 5,000 homes in the draft plan, in addition to 25,000 square metres of employment land. Robert Eaton, Senior Strategic Planning Manager at Severn Trent, explained the company's plans at a meeting of Trentham South Residents Association. He said, "I'm well aware of the issues over access at Strongford. It's been something we've been talking about with local councillors as long as I've been in this role. But if we are going to build that access, we have to somehow fund it. After looking at this for a period of time, we've now found a way to do that, which will be to sell two pieces of land and allocate them for employment. If the local plan is adopted in late 2027, there will be planning applications for the land and the access road could be built in 2031. So it's not going to happen overnight, but that's just the way the planning system works. The only reason we're doing this is to build the access road. People have told us that they want the access road and that's what we are trying to do." Mr. Eaton told the meeting that between 500 and 1,000 people could eventually be employed on the two sites once they are developed into industrial estates. He said that building the axis onto the A34 would be a planning condition attached to the land next to the sewage works, and in any case would need to be built for the employment site. Mr. Eaton was also keen to stress that the development of Severn Trent's land is entirely separate to the golf club's proposals to sell off its land for housing, and neither scheme will be dependent on the other. But some of the residents who attended the meeting expressed scepticism over Severn Trent's claim that developing greenbelt land is not the only way to fund the road. Is the only way to fund the road. Trentham resident Anne Harley said, "We've all seen our water bills keep going up. Severn Trent are making millions of pounds of profit, but they have us over a barrel saying that the only way they can build the road is by selling off this land. Our roads are already too busy. If Trentham Gardens has something special on, then the A34 will be at a standstill." Ward Councillor Dan Jellyman said, "Severn Trent are spending millions of pounds turning Strongford into the UK's first net zero sewage plant, and yet they claim they haven't got enough money to build this access road." But Mr. Eaton insisted that due to water industry regulations, Severn Trent is restricted in how it spends its income, meaning other sources of funding are required for schemes such as the access road. A public consultation of the local plan will run until October the 20th. Residents can have their say by visiting stoke.gov.uk/localplan. And now it's over to you, Tim.
Many thanks. Okay, so my final story for you now in batch number two is 1,219 of you, well, people in general, are fighting plans for 124 homes in a Stoke-on-Trent estate. Concerned residents have handed in a petition over controversial plans for an area of green space in the draft local plan. Residents in Western Coyne say the area was left for residential amenity and has been a community green space for half a century. Now Western Coyne Residents Association has handed in a petition to Stoke-on-Trent City Council signed by 826 members of the local community. Now this is in addition to the 368 residents who have signed an online petition and 25 objections which have also been posted to the council. Stoke-on-Trent City Council is about to conclude a series of consultations over the draft local plan. The plan is set to outline all developments in the city until 2040 and will see the development of 18,528 new homes. The plan is earmarked land on Brookwood Drive in Western Coyne as land available for 124 homes. The land was previously looked at, and would have included 154 flats and houses, but was dropped due to opposition from residents. Now the Residents Association have presented their petition to officials at the City Council. Secretary of the Residents Association, Sue Bourne, said, "The council is supposed to be doing things for people, not removing their amenity. The situation is the same in effect as it was when it was last looked at 7 years ago and was thrown out. Now it's got worse because of all the traffic on Western Road and all the different animals that live there." The area that Residents Association covers is 850 houses, so we've actually got more signatures than that. There are more people interested in it other than those immediately affected by it. The campaign has been supported by local councillor Ross Irvin, who said the area was purposely left for residents as an area of open space, which is now well established and looked after by the council for more than 70 years. He said, "People and I talk to are annoyed over the loss of public open space. They think, well, we've got a policy, or should have a policy, of brownfield sites first, and yet a well-established area of public open space is likely to be lost. It stirred up a lot of local concern. This came up 7 years ago, and the council then did listen to the objections and withdrew the proposal. Residents will now have to wait until next year to find out whether the site is included in the final draft of the local plan." So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Okay, over to Uta, who's going to do the final story. No, she's not going to do the final story, but she's going to do the next story for us when we return in batch number three.